Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Abraham was of God. He heard God's call and he obeyed. Even when laughing Isaac asked his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for sacrifice?" Abraham obeyed. When it came time to build the altar and to lay the wood upon it, Abraham obeyed. Even when he had to bind his only son from his wife Sarah and place him on top of the altar and the wood, Abraham obeyed. And when it was time to take the knife and to slit Isaac's throat, Abraham obeyed. He was of God. But the Lord intervened. "Do not lay a hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear God." Instead of Isaac, Abraham would sacrifice the ram caught in the thicket. So he called the name of the mountain, "The Lord will provide." Abraham was of God. But those who claimed Abraham as their father, the Jews, were not. It wasn't enough to have Abraham's blood in their veins. They needed Abraham's faith in their hearts. Of Abraham, Moses and St. Paul declared, "He believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness." But the Jews who accuse Jesus of having a demon do not share this faith with their forefather. Jesus cuts straight to the point. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. You have not known the Father. I know him. If I were to say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you." And then, the line that causes grammar teachers to wince and theologians to prick their ears, "Before Abraham was, I am." That's no grammatical error. It's a statement of Jesus' unity with the Lord, who from the burning bush told Moses his name, "I am who I am." The Jews thought they had their religion in a neat and tidy package, but Jesus tore the package open. God took on human flesh and dwelled with his people in the person of Jesus. You cannot know the Father without knowing Jesus. You cannot be Abraham's descendant without sharing Abraham's faith. And you cannot be of God without hearing and keeping his word. So what about you? Are you of God? Or do you suppose you can reach the Heavenly Father on your own, without Jesus, apart from the means which he has promised to deliver grace? Do you imagine that having parents who were faithful churchgoers earns you their eternal inheritance? Or vice versa, do you hope that your faith will earn salvation for your children or your parents? Do you elect, choose only to be a hearer of God's word when it's convenient and when only everything else gets done, when there's nothing else commanding your time on the schedule? If so, repent. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The wood was bound and placed upon Isaac. He plotted the path up the mountain to where the sacrifice would be offered. Isaac was bound to the wood. But this Isaac is the fulfillment of the first Isaac. The second Isaac is the son of God, not the son of Abraham. "Before Abraham was, I am," he said. This Jesus Christ is the sacrifice to which all the other sacrifices pointed. But he is unlike any sacrifice before him. All the lambs who shed their blood on the altar in the temple were sacrificed against their will. So would have been Isaac, and so was the ram caught in the thicket, held against its will to be the sacrifice in Isaac's place. But the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, did what no other sacrificial lamb could do. He went willingly. No one takes my life from me, he said, but I lay it down of my own accord. So, the writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ entered the most holy place once and for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. He is the ultimate, final sacrifice. All other sacrifices before him simply pointed to his sacrificial death on the cross in the place of sinners. By nature, you are not of God. By nature, you are rebellious against God. But he who was in his very nature God took your place. He took your place. He took Abraham's place. He took the place of the Jews who said that he possessed a demon. And he died. And so for his sake, who has become the rebel, the sinner, the idolater, the blasphemer, for his sake, you are of God. If the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's baptism. There, the Spirit and the blood of Christ swirled together in a watery grave into which your sinful, not of God flesh was forever plunged, drowned, buried, discarded, and dead. God claimed you there by placing his triune name upon you and speaking the word of faith and of the forgiveness of sins into your ear. Through the waters of holy baptism, you became of God. You heard the word of God. The word of God in human flesh kept perfectly in your place. And so now you stand in his place. You and all who have received the Lord's gift of faith in the waters of holy baptism have become beloved children of God. And so now the Lord's call to be of God is simply a call to remain. Remain a hearer of the word. Abraham believed God, not of his own, but because of the Lord's gift of faith. So you believe God, and it is credited to you as righteousness, because the Lord has given you this precious treasure of faith. So now you receive this promised eternal inheritance, forgiveness of all your sins, and life that endures eternally. If anyone keeps my word, Jesus promised, he will never see death. So you do. You keep God's word because it has been given to you. You keep his word and you are kept by his word. The word continues to come to you, to hold you fast in the relationship he has established with you, to speak forgiveness of sins to you, and to whisper faith into your ear, so you will never, according to Jesus' promise, see death. Even should death claim your body, even though you may taste death, you will never see it. You will pass from death into life as certainly as the Lord with whom you were joined in holy baptism defeated death and passed from death to life. Your eyes will open in the resurrection and you will behold life eternally. Abraham called the place where the Lord provided the substitutionary ram, the sacrifice that set Isaac free, the Lord provides. At that altar, God took away Isaac's death sentence, his condemnation, and declared Abraham righteous. So here, at this altar, the Lord provides. He provides to you the very body and blood of the Lamb of God, slain for your sins and who yet lives. At this mountain, as at Calvary, the Lord provides. Here, he takes away your sins and he bids you taste something far better than death. Here, you taste life. Here, you who are of God by his very gift of faith, you have this as a promise that you will not see death. His promise, his guarantee, his very real body and blood, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, removes your guilt and your death sentence. He sets you free and he makes you eternally of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.